97.5, The Fanatic.
What up?
Well, good Saturday morning, Philadelphia. Andrew Salchunas here on 97.5, The Fanatic. And guess what we get to do today? We get to bitch and moan again. We get to complain about Philadelphia sports. You know what? After everything that we've gone through, it's kind of like a holiday for me at this point. Now, obviously, I want the Phillies to win. But, you know, it's nice that we get to finally react to actual live action. We get to listen to the Phillies. We get to talk about the Sixers. And we get to talk about the three-point shot heard around the world again. Because we did that after the Guangzhou Lions. We did that after against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now we're doing it in a scrimmage against the Memphis Grizzlies. So it's the three-point shot heard around the world, part three, with Ben Simmons. Because I don't count the videos. I count only the actual in-game where there's some sort of competition. So, a lot of things to talk about today, and I'm very excited about it because finally we have real sports to react to.
Love it.
You know, no offense to the KBO. I watched that almost every single morning. I tuned it in this morning, actually, the Korean Baseball Organization. No offense to KBO, I'm done with the KBO. You know, right? I'm done with that. I've really enjoyed watching MLS soccer. I've been all on board with the Union. I can't wait for tonight's game at 10:30. But obviously the masses know how to react to Phillies games, and they know how to react to Sixers games and Eagles games and Flyers games. So on this Saturday morning, we finally get to react to live action. And of course, the number to get in is 610-632-0975. We will start with the Phillies. And I have a very specific question for the audience today. Are you panicking yet? Or is it still too early? And we'll talk about that in a second. But the Phillies lose 5-2 to the Marlins yesterday on opening day of the 60-game season. 60-game season. Phil's offense never really looked alive. There was a moment in the seventh or eighth inning where they had two men on. JT Realmuto, I know that was discussed yesterday on social media, incorrectly in my opinion. I'm calling you out, Jamie. The 3-0 count, he didn't swing. People didn't like it. People didn't like that JT Realmuto didn't swing on the 3-0 count. If he walks there, it's bases loaded for the man who hit the home run earlier in the game, that, of course, being Didi Gregorius. But that was really the only moment where the Phillies offense looked alive. Didi Gregorius hit a home run earlier in the game. The Phillies tacked on another run in the seventh, but that was because of an error by the Marlins center fielder. Jay Bruce just hit a pop-up, and it was dropped by the Marlins center fielder. So there you go. That was your offense for the Phillies. It was a home run, a boneheaded play by a Marlins center fielder, and then it was having two runners on in the eighth inning and getting nothing on top of that. So the Phillies offense looked lackluster yesterday. Aaron Nola didn't dazzle, right? He had seven strikeouts yesterday, but again, it was against the Marlins. So to only go 5 1/3, to allow four earned runs, the last one was when Rosa was on the mound, which we'll get into the Phillies bullpen too. But Aaron Nola didn't look great. The offense didn't look great. So that's not a good start to a 60-game season when you're ace. I still say Zach Wheeler's the ace, but when Aaron Nola, the ace, doesn't look all that great, when he gets no run support, which we talked about that at length last year, but the offense looked lackluster, the starting pitching didn't look great, and then of course the bullpen with Ramon Rosso just throwing, you know, worm ball after worm ball. It looked like Donovan McNabb on the mound, pretty much throwing everything in the ground. So it was a tough outing to start for Rosso. He allowed a run, and the Phillies lose 5-2. And not a good start. But I need to ask you, is it too early to panic, or is it okay to start questioning the team already? So I like to do this a lot. I start the show right away with a poll, and this poll is on my Twitter account, @asalchunas975. I know it was retweeted by the station as well, so you can check it out on @975TheFanatic. I saw mixed reactions last night after the Phillies lost to the Marlins. So let me ask you, when it came to last night's loss to start the 60-game season, what is your mindset on the Phillies? Two options. Already panicking and relaxed. Relaxed, it's just one game. We are currently at 9:05 in the morning, split 50-50. Now, I will say this. They still have two more games against the Marlins. Today at 4 o'clock, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Sandy Alcantara is a pretty good pitcher, right? He's overlooked because he plays for the Miami Marlins. You saw him yesterday. If you watched, 97-mile-per-hour fastball, had a two-seamer that danced, had a good curveball, had a good changeup, had a good slide. He's a pretty good pitcher. And the Marlins are, you know, they don't like to pay their players, but they have some nice arms in the rotation. The Phillies will see Caleb Smith this afternoon, left-handed pitcher who gave the Phillies some problems last year. So that's not a good start. But they still have two more games against the Marlins. And Sandy Alcantara is by far the best pitcher in the rotation. So maybe the next two games, the Phillies' bats come alive. Maybe it had something to do with playing at home with no fans. Who knows? It was very weird yesterday for a lot of people. I don't mind it. You know, it's for 1 year, really. But it didn't look good yesterday for the Phillies. So I want to know, at 610-632-0975, are you already panicking? And I like to keep on pointing this out, because it's 60 games, right? And it was just one game. But when you look at it big picture, what were our concerns coming into this game? That the bullpen is not that great. All right, well, the bullpen wasn't that great last night. After Rosso, it was okay, but it wasn't that great. Aaron Nola struggled out of the gate last year, eventually settled down right around this time, really, in the warmer months of June and July. And I thought, all right, it's already warm out. You know, he's not pitching in this cold, rainy weather of March and April like he did, it seemed like, every time he started last year. So I thought, out of the gate, July 24th, Aaron Nola's going to be fine. He didn't look all that great. And if you remember last year, it was really because of Zach Eflin that the Phillies were still in the mix midway through the season. Zach Eflin and some quality starts from Jake Arrieta. But one of our concerns this year, is Aaron Nola going to be the same Aaron Nola last year when he came out of the gate slow? He was not that great yesterday. He was okay, but as an ace, you got to get a better performance. Sandy Alcantara looked like an ace for the Miami Marlins yesterday. Aaron Nola did not look like an ace for the Phillies last night. So that's one of the other concerns. Another concern going into the game, will the bats be like they were last year? A major disappointment. They have all this talent on paper from top to bottom. I mean, you look at the Phillies starting lineup last night, because of the DH, Scott Kingery was batting eighth. A guy that a lot of people penciled in as the next Chase Utley from the very beginning because of a few highlights in double and triple A. But Scott Kingery is your eight hitter. Jay Bruce is your seven hitter. You have a pretty deep lineup, like you had a deep lineup last year. And we saw the effect of Andrew McCutchen's injury and what happened to the Phillies last year. Andrew McCutchen went 0-for-4 yesterday. I don't, you know, I'm just using my eyes. Andrew McCutchen didn't look like he was moving all that great yesterday. He was still moving pretty well. But you got to have that concern. All right, is the lineup going to be just an on-paper show again and not really step up? Is Andrew McCutchen going to play well coming off that major injury at the age of 33? All right, he's 33 years old now. He's not 25. He's not 26. So all these concerns sort of showed up last night, and last night was opening night. Last night was the first game of the season for the Phillies in a 60-game season. And we've heard the numbers from Jason Stark. I saw that Corey Seidman tweeted it out yesterday as well. Every game this season, 60 games compared to 162, every game this season basically counts as 2.7 games in a 162-game season. So if you're doing that math, the Phillies started the season 0-2.7. Or if you want to round up, 0-3 to start the year. That's not good. But for the other side of things, relax, just one game. Well, there you go. It's just that. It was just one game. The Phillies aren't done yet. The Mets beat the Braves yesterday. So the Braves started 0-1. The Yankees beat the Nationals. So the Nationals started 0-1. So it's not like the Phillies are the only team that started 0-1 in the NL East. And I also have to point out, there is an expanded playoff format this year. It passed earlier this week. It'll be 8 teams in both leagues, National League, American League, 16 teams total. The first place team in each division will make it to the playoffs. The second place team in each division will make the playoffs. And then you can also add two more wild card teams. That makes the eight. So maybe the Phillies have a better chance of making the playoffs this year. I've talked about it at length. I still don't think they're the best team in the division. I think a lot of people got really excited with Joe Girardi. A lot of people got really excited with Zach Wheeler, Didi Gregorius, as did I. But I still look at the roster and I go, they're not as good as the Nationals. They're not as good as the Braves. But in a 60-game season, how the hell am I supposed to tell you whether or not they're going to make the playoffs? In a 60-game season, we know nothing. But what we do know is every game counts. Every game really matters. This wasn't a loss in the month of July of a 162-game season. This was a loss in the month of July of a 60-game season. And what we talk about all the time, we talked about it last year. The team in the NL East that has the best success against the Marlins will most likely win the division. And I know it wasn't the Phillies last year because the Phillies went 9-10 against the Marlins last year. It's kind of the same story this year. The team in the NL East with the most success against the Marlins has a pretty good chance of winning the division. The Phillies have to play the Marlins 10 times this year. The Marlins are on the Phillies schedule for 1/6 of the season. Think about that for a second. 1/6 of the season. The Phillies play the Marlins 10 times in a 60-game season. And it's not a good start to go 0-1. And it's not a good start that it's against the Marlins, who you struggled against last year, who aren't good. You're not supposed to lose to the Marlins, especially with your ace on the mound. But they did. So let me ask you, 610-632-0975. Are you already panicking when it comes to the Phillies? Or are you on the side of, I'm relaxed, it's just one game, they have the Marlins two more times this weekend, I'll tell you how I feel after the Yankees series, because they play four straight against the Yankees, two in Philadelphia, two in New York. So answer that question for me, 610-632-0975. But maybe that's not the big story yesterday. The 76ers had a scrimmage yesterday against the Memphis Grizzlies, and they won. They played pretty well. But the big story is, well, Ben Simmons hit a three-point shot. Ben Simmons, it was kicked to him. First, he took a corner three and he missed. And then the second time, he took the three and he made it. Obviously, the starters didn't play that many minutes yesterday. They got their work in. But there were a lot of things from this Sixers game, albeit a scrimmage, that you should be excited about. Ben Simmons, will finish with him. But Tobias Harris, he looked ready to play. Tobias Harris looked ready to play, and you're hearing more and more from members of the team, from people who cover the team. I know Mark Zumoff and Al Del Nabi talked about it during the broadcast yesterday. Tobias Harris has really taken over as the leader of this team. Now, I need to see Tobias Harris be the leader on the court, because we heard it going into the season that Tobias Harris was such a vocal leader. You know, he gathered the team a lot. We heard during the Zoom, or during the pandemic, he did like nightly Zoom calls that he set up, and it was players only, no coaches, no GMs. That was Tobias Harris's job. And once they got to the bubble, Tobias Harris gathered the team nightly, according to reports. We don't know. We're not in the bubble. But according to reports, nightly for team dinners. It wasn't, hey, Joel Embiid is hanging out with Jimmy Butler and eating dinner tonight. No, it was the 76ers as a team had nightly dinners, according to reports. You know, life in the bubble, you know, everything's game. Everything's game. But apparently, they hung out. So Tobias Harris, good leader off the court. What I need to see from Tobias Harris is being that leader on the court. I need to see him a little more vocal. Obviously, I need to see him a little more aggressive. Yesterday, he looked ready to play. 15 points, 10 rebounds in limited minutes. He looked ready to play yesterday. He looked good. In a game where your mindset isn't, oh man, we got to get out there and win. It was a scrimmage game leading up to 8 regular season games leading up to the playoffs. But Tobias Harris looked good. And to me, that's one of the big keys for the Sixers in the return format. Al Horford hit an open three. And you go, well, it's just one. Al Horford, according to reports, was not healthy during the season. He's dealing with a back. He was dealing with a knee. He was dealing with all kinds of stuff, Al Horford was. I saw Al Horford get a kick to him at the top of the key, and I saw him bang a three, an open three. I'm not expecting Al Horford to give me 20 a game. But what I'm expecting is for Al Horford to hit those open threes, you know, at a higher percentage than he did during the regular season. I'm looking at Al Horford to make an impact off the bench. So Al Horford hit some open shots. That's good. I saw some great off-ball stuff for Ben Simmons. I saw some great on-ball stuff for Ben Simmons. But one of the things I really liked, there was a moment in the second quarter where Alec Burks checked in late. It was his first time checking in. And a lot of people, I think, have already written off Alec Burks. I think a lot of people just forget that he's on the team because he got traded right before the pandemic. And remember, he didn't play right away. You know, he took his time coming to Philadelphia. He wasn't really happy about being traded. But Alec Burks is a scoring threat off the bench. And a lot of people are putting out their rotations, and a lot of people are leaving off Alec Burks. I think he's a guy that, if given some time, can actually give you some points off the bench. There was a moment yesterday where Ben Simmons, they ran the pick and roll. Ben Simmons set the screen. He rolled. Alec Burks had an open mid-range jump shot. Boom. 2 points. Now, on the next possession, he turned it over. But, hey, we'll forget that one. But Alec Burks and Ben Simmons, Shake Milton, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons. With Ben Simmons playing the four and being the screener in the pick and roll game, we know the freakish athleticism that he has rolling to the cup. He can jump up and slam one in if it's an open alley-oop. We know if he rolls, he gets the ball, he can then also dish it off to somebody who cuts. We know that Ben Simmons can fade. You can dish it back to him, and you can be running something off ball with Joel Embiid and Josh Richardson or Tobias Harris, and then you hit them for an open three. We know Ben Simmons can do all these things. But it's nice to see that somebody can hit the open mid-range jump shot because of the screen. So it looked good to see that with Alec Burks. You can do that with a lot of guys on this team. Josh Richardson is a very good mid-range shooter. Tobias Harris, we've seen, is a very good mid-range shooter. Shake Milton can do a lot of things. So it was good to see some off-ball stuff with Ben Simmons, and the guys that had the ball benefit from it. Joel Embiid looked to be in shape. Joel Embiid looked to be in shape. I know Valanciunas, my man, had 16 points and 10 boards yesterday. I think he was bullying a little more than what Embiid's mindset might have been. But Embiid looked good yesterday. He looked in shape, and that's what we need. But, of course, Ben Simmons is the big story. And I need you to answer this question for me at 610-632-0975. A, is it real? Right? We saw it in a scrimmage game against the Guangzhou Lions before the season started. And Ben Simmons hit the three. I was in attendance. And I went nuts, as did everybody in my section, as did everybody in the Wells Fargo Center that night. We all went nuts when Ben Simmons hit that three. When Ben Simmons hit the three against the Cavaliers, we said, oh, look at this. He did it in a real game. And then Brett Brown challenged him. Take a three. Not make a three, but take a three. In every single regular season game. After that, he didn't take one. And I don't know if that was a shot back at Brett Brown. I don't know what it was. But after Brett Brown makes those comments post-game against the Cavaliers, Ben Simmons doesn't take another three the rest of the night. But now, obviously, we see the videos. We hear that Ben Simmons has been working at the four in practice. And then you hear his teammates. Glenn Robinson III joined Devon Givens earlier this week. Shake Milton joined the morning show earlier this week. And they talked about, in practice, you now need to respect the shot. I know Ben Simmons missed the first one, but he was willing to shoot it, and the form was okay. And then the second shot, he bangs it. Boom. A three-pointer for Ben Simmons. Oh, by the way, on top of the incredible defense that he played yesterday, on top of that no-look alley-oop that he threw, on top of grabbing a rebound on the defensive side of things and being able to push it like crazy, Ben Simmons looked like a magician yesterday with the ball in his hands. And Tyrone Johnson likes to whisper it, and he said it a little bit louder on Twitter yesterday, that if Ben Simmons is willing to shoot the jumper and is making the jumper, the league is in trouble. And he's right. And when I first saw the videos from practice, I said, you know what? I'm not going to get duped again. I'm going to wait until I see it against a real team and a real game. And yesterday was just a scrimmage, but it was a game. It was a game where guys played defense for the most part. And Ben Simmons hit a three. So A, is it real? But B, maybe the bigger question for you to answer today. If this is real, And even though he only took 2 3-pointers, if he's going 1 for 2, 1 for 3 on a given night, and teams might have to start respecting 3 a little bit more, I have to ask you, how far can the Sixers go this year? And then how far can the Sixers go in the future? Because if Ben Simmons is all of a sudden hitting threes at like a 30% clip, he's one of the best players in the league. He's top 5, in my opinion. He's already in the top 15. But if he's hitting threes, he's in the top 5, which is just crazy. Right? He's an all-star without it. People like to point out, oh, well, you know, he's never going to shoot a 3 because he feels good about himself already because he's an all-star without shooting the 3. Yeah, you're right. He is. But I think he wants to be one of the best players in the league. I think he wants that. People always like to go with this, no, he doesn't want to be embarrassed. He wants to look cool. He wants to this. He wants that. He wants this. He knows that he needs to shoot in order for his team to win. So if the shot is real, and if he continues to shoot 1 of 2 or 1 of 3, I don't need 6 of 10. I don't need a ton of 3-pointers. But 1 of 2, 1 of 3. If that happens, how far can the Sixers go this playoff? Like right now. Right now they're the 6th seed. They're going to face Boston. They have the ability to move up to face Miami or Indiana. Indiana took a hit yesterday with Domantas Sabonis getting hurt. So they have the opportunity to move up to the 5th spot. And then the Valanciunas plan comes into effect. Beat Miami in round 1, and you're fresh against Milwaukee. It's not Boston, then Toronto, and now you're banged up against Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. No, it's beat Miami, you're fresh against the Bucks, and now you have somewhat of a chance. So 610-632-0975. On the table today, the Phillies. Are you panicking after 1 game? I'm not going to blame anyone who is. I'm not going to blame anyone who isn't. But I want to hear from both sides today, because right now the poll on my account at ASalChunas975 is split 50-50. And then for the Sixers, how far can they go if this thing is real? I want an overall just sort of reaction to the Sixers scrimmage. It was great to see them on the court again. I missed those jerseys. I missed a lot of stuff. I'm so happy to see them back. But overall reaction to the Sixers' first game back, even though it was just a scrimmage, and a reaction to the 3. If it's real, how far can they go? 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. 97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas on this wonderful Saturday morning, taking you until noon. A couple open lines, 610-632-0975. Before I continue, can I hear the Ben Simmons 3, please, Nat Marlowe?
Here's Simmons for 3, and it's good. Ben Simmons, triple, knocking it down right in front of his bench. And the Sixers lead the Grizzlies 57-28. Ben Simmons from deep. 5 points now for Simmons.
Thank you, Nat. Ben Simmons for 3. Bang. Is it real? I got to ask you, and I just had that great conversation with Stan from Drexel Hill, who just called in. You know, once he starts hitting 1 of 2, 1 of 2, 1 of 2 on a consistent basis, when does 1 of 2 turn to 2 of 5? When does 2 of 5 turn to 3 of 6 or 3 of 7? And it's not Steph Curry, you know, he's dribbling up the court and he's pulling up from just inside half court. It's not J.J. Redick where he's falling to his side and hitting it. It's not Marco Bellinelli going out of bounds, you know, at the corner of the baseline and hitting a 3. No, it's you know, he's disrespected by the defense a little bit, so he pulls up and hits the 3. When does it become the defense does have to respect it. And if that time comes, just how far can this Sixers team go? And if that time is now, right? If that time is now, and we talked about the sports psychologist just a moment ago, and people are tweeting in, Rob Manoff tweeted in that LeBron James has seen one. LeBron James, the best player in the world. LeBron James has seen one. Mark Cuban brought one in 2012, I believe it was, when the Dallas Mavericks beat the Miami Heat with the big three. So sports psychologists have been out there for a while. They're around. It's not something to make jokes about. Maybe Ben Simmons needed to be unlocked somehow. And if that three-pointer is legit now, he's already a top 15 player. If that three-pointer is legit, if somewhat of a jump shot is legit, he could be top five. And people may laugh, but listen, it's true. And for the Ben Simmons doubters out there that go, well, he's not going to be willing. Well, what happens if he is willing? What happens? Is it over? Is it a wrap? Do the Sixers win multiple championships? And if it's one of two on a consistent basis during these playoffs, what does that mean? Because let me tell you this. Speaking of sports psychologists, right? You want to get into the mindset, the mentality of a team. When Ben Simmons hit that three yesterday, what did the team do? They celebrated. They went nuts. But it wasn't like the Guangzhou Lions when I think Ben Simmons almost got embarrassed. Because Ben Simmons hit the three, and I remember there's a timeout in the court, and like Joel Embiid came running out, and everybody was like celebrating, going nuts. It was like when Markel Fultz got his triple-double when he had 10, 10, and 10, and people got excited for that for some dumb reason. When Ben Simmons hit that three, everybody went nuts. And I wonder if that almost embarrassed him a little bit. Yesterday, guys celebrated, but it wasn't they ran onto the court and they did the Rudy where they put him on their Ben Simmons on their shoulders. So if that three almost sparks up the team a little bit, that's only going to help some more, in my opinion. So what happens if that three-pointer is real? What happens to the Sixers in the playoffs now? The playoffs are about to begin for the Philadelphia 76ers. August 14th will be the first day of the NBA playoffs, whether the Sixers play that day or the following. But August 14th is when the playoffs begin. If we see some more one-of-two performances from Ben Simmons, couple that with his defense and, of course, the incredible passing that he does. He had 9 assists yesterday in limited time. It's 7, I believe, in the first half. It's outrageous. If Ben Simmons is legit with that shot, and I'm not saying Steph Curry, but one of two, one of three, whatever, where the opposing team has to respect it, what does that do for the Sixers in this playoff that's about to begin August 14th? 610-632-0975. Talking Sixers, but of course, talking Phillies. The Phillies had a real game yesterday. Opening day, they lose to the Miami Marlins 5-2. In case you're just joining us, I was happy to be able to bitch and moan for once. I was happy to complain. I was happy to react to sports this morning. But obviously, I'm not happy with a 5-2 loss to the Miami Marlins on opening day in a 60-game season. In a game where Aaron Nola, your penciled ace, right? I don't pencil him in as the ace, but Joe Girardi did. Didn't look great. Didn't look terrible, but he didn't look like an ace. Meanwhile, Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins, a bad team, did. And then the Phillies' bats were really not existent. Didi Gregorius, the only player on the Phillies to have two hits. Didi Gregorius hit a home run as well. But the team struggled yesterday. And, you know, I saw the tweets yesterday. Bryce Harper cares more about his fashion than his play on the field, right? He had the suit yesterday with the Fanatic stuff on the inside. He had the weird fur cleats. I was actually out in the cleats. Like, I actually, you know what? Bryce Harper, never wear those again. Don't go with the fur cleats. Just wear some normal cleats and hit the ball. Sorry, that's my old school rant. I don't need the fur cleats, to be honest. But the Phillies didn't look good yesterday. From the starting pitcher to Ramon Rosso, who had an ERA of 5 in the minor leagues last year. We know why. He didn't look good yesterday. I mean, my God, if I have to see Austin Davis pitch ever again, he didn't give up a run, but Austin Davis, my God, I just don't want to see him ever again. The Phillies didn't look good yesterday. And in a 60-game season, that's not a good sign. Now, again, it was just one game. They still have two more against the Marlins in this series. They can end up going 2-1 in the series, and we might be feeling a little bit better. But you're already in the hole. If you lose 2 of 3 to the Marlins to start the season, that's not good, man. So I have a poll on my Twitter account, at asalchunas975, and I want you to react to this on the phones, because I don't know which side to go. I don't know which side to go on this. On my account, also retweeted by the Fanatic, I saw mixed reaction last night after the Phillies lost to the Marlins. So let me ask you, when it came to last night's loss to start the 60-game season, where, of course, one game counts as 2.7, if you were to add that up to a 162-game season, what is your mindset on the Phillies? Are you A, already panicking, or B, relaxed because it was just one game? Relaxed, just one game in the lead, but only 53.5% of the vote. Already panicking at 46.5% of the vote. And I don't want to panic because it was just one game, but it's not a good sign that you lost to the Marlins, who you went 9-10 against last year. Aaron Nola, who started off slow last year, did not look good yesterday, and we can't have Aaron Nola going 5 starts before he actually figures it out in a 60-game season. 5 starts for Aaron Nola, that means 25 games, and if he's giving you 1-4 in those 5 starts, you're already in a hole. So I don't need Aaron Nola taking his time to feel comfortable again like he did last year. I'm not saying he took his time, but you get what I'm saying. It's a shortened season. The bats were quiet. And one of my concerns were, are the bats just as mediocre and just as disappointing as they were last year? On paper, the offense should not have been as disappointing as they were last year, but they were. On paper, they should not be disappointing this year, but they were last night, except for Didi Gregorius. So that was one of my concerns. The bullpen, obviously a concern of everybody's, did not look good yesterday. So if you're already panicking, I don't blame you. But if you want to say, relax, it's just one game, it's still the Marlins, the Phillies are on paper a better team, they have 2 more games against them to start this season, if you want to say that, that's fine. But it's kind of hard not to worry a little bit. 610-632-0975. That and the Sixers on the table. And later on, again in the show, RIP Pro Bowl. I'll explain why. And if you want to talk about it now, the microphones underneath the court or along the court in the NBA, I like the natural sound of the squeaking of the shoes and the dribble of the basketball. But when there's already no fans, do you really need to put microphones on the floor to make those sounds louder?
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Like I said earlier, it sounded like the Vuvuzela from the World Cup, where it just never stopped. Same thing with this. Like, the noise was irritating to me. It was driving me insane. Let's go to Josh in Audubon. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, Chad?
What's up, Josh? How you doing?
Good, man. It was like riding a bike yesterday, being a Philly fan.
Being disappointed right away.
I was excited. I get home, grab a couple beers. I got the food in front of me. Whatever, we're down 1-0. Oh, here we go. And then you get your high of DD. And then after the Aguilar home run, I was watching Ben Simmons threes on a loop on Twitter.
Yeah, you know what's funny? When they went down 1-0, I went to my FanDuel app, my favorite app, and I checked out the in-game run total, and it was like Phillies -1.5 at +220. And I was like, well, hell yeah, I'm taking that, because Phillies aren't going to lose to the Marlins, and they're not going to only win by 1 run. Yeah, I didn't win that bet.
They only get 3 hits or 4, whatever it was. It's so frustrating to see. And it's not panic, but every game means so much now. I feel like I would have felt if it was a 162 and it's the end of July and we're tied for the division lead and we're playing the Marlins. It's like, oh my gosh, really? Like, come on. Like, this is winning time.
You're right, Josh. But I will point out, for the relax, it's just one game crowd, I am going to do this because I'm playing both sides. I don't know exactly how I feel right now. I get it. They were playing the Yankees, but the Nationals started 0-1, and the Braves lost to the Mets. They start 0-1. Now, I am higher on the Mets than many people. I think the Mets are actually a pretty good team. Jonas Cespedes, he's back and healthy. He hit a home run yesterday. But you know, look at it. The Braves and Nationals, the two teams that a lot of people have in front of the Phillies, are also 0-1.
I think it's easier to have the relaxed feeling now because of the extended playoffs. It's like, we really got to be bad to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Josh. If they do miss the playoffs, miss the playoffs with the expanded playoffs, yeah, that's really bad. And people are going to be like, Matt Klentak's job will be on the line.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And it could easily be turned around tonight. I can see both sides as well. Like, the panic is because it's 4.5 months of no sports.
Yep.
The first taste we get is just about as bad as a game we can have.
Oh, Josh, if the Phillies won yesterday, the reaction would be they're going to the World Series because this is the first time we saw a sport in 4 months. But you're right, because they lost the first game in 4 months, it's, oh my God, season's over, fire everybody, trade everybody, rebuild.
Wheeler can come out tonight and go seven strong. We put up 7 or 8 runs and we're right back at it. But real quick on the Sixers, I was very happy. I was listening to the game on the radio, and honestly, I didn't really notice the squeaking and dribbling as much as you did.
Oh, but my God, it was awful.
That's not my point. I was just really excited to see how well they played. I was watching highlights and stuff because I didn't get to watch the game. I was listening to McGinnis. But I like the fact that Ben's first three was a miss, and a bad miss, a short brick, and his second one was no hesitation. He made it.
Yeah, you're glad that he came back with another one.
We haven't seen him shoot besides like a half-court heave or something, 2 threes in a game. Okay, even an exhibition, that was really good to see, and neither one of them were hesitation, and he shot it, and there was a reaction from the bench, but from him personally, it was just like, there was no smirk like there was before, like, oh, cool, everybody's like making a big deal of it. He shot it, he got right back on D, he's pointing at defensive assignments, so I'm hoping that's the norm. I'm not going to get crazy and saying, oh, let's see how comfortable he can get to 4 threes, 5 threes again. No, 2 is perfect with me, just enough to have the defense respect him. And like you said, that pump fake and get easy buckets.
Yep.
It's really, really good to see.
If he's 1 of 2, let's say throughout this entire playoff, how far can the Phillies go, or Sixers go, excuse me?
Well, it really doesn't. For me, whether he has a three-point shot or not, you have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And my formula, every three he attempts automatically gives him 2 points for a dunk or a layup later in the game.
Yep.
So if he's a 16-point per game, 17-point per game, which he is, those 2 three-pointers he attempts, if he makes one, that's an extra 3 points, and it buys him 2 easy buckets. He should average 20 for the rest of the season in the playoffs, in my opinion.
And maybe he does, Josh, and I appreciate the call, man. Like, the optimism, there are some people that hate it. There are some people that, I'm sure, saw the three-pointer yesterday and go, all right, well, let me see him do it in a real game. And listen, I get it. I get it. There are people that are tired of it. But as Josh pointed out, that's the first time we ever saw him take 2 legit 3-pointers in a game. Not a 3-pointer and a half-court heave, or not 2 half-court heaves at the end of a quarter, end of a half. It was good to see 2 legit 3-pointers. And Josh is right. He makes a great point. He missed the first one. It wasn't pretty. Then it's not like he then clammed up and said, oh, I'm not going to do that again. No, he then went out there again and banged the second one. So that's a good sign for Ben Simmons. I'm not saying they win the NBA Finals all of a sudden because of that. But if you do see that sort of confidence, that growth, and it's him playing the 4 off the ball, and he's now not a non-factor off the ball. He's already not a non-factor to me because he can run that pick and roll game, and I talked about it earlier to start the show. One of the great moments that I caught was when Alec Burks, late in the second quarter, hit a mid-range jump shot off the screen of Ben Simmons. Why? Because even though teams might not respect the three-point shot of Ben Simmons, they have to respect his athleticism and being able to go to the rim. So when Ben Simmons rolls, what happens? The big man follows because the big man wants to block off any sort of alley-oop attempt. But that screen freed up Alec Burks and gave him a couple feet of space from his defender, and he hits the mid-range jump shot. And because Alec Burks is capable of hitting a mid-range jump shot, Josh Richardson is capable of hitting a mid-range jump shot, as is Tobias Harris and Shake Milton. All these guys are capable of hitting a mid-range jump shot. If you're running the pick-and-roll game, which I don't think Brett Brown did enough last year, and he spoke earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago and said that they will run more pick-and-rolls, that makes me excited. it's a good sign that Ben Simmons is already not a non-factor without the ball in his hands because of that asset of the game. But if he can also implement a three-point shot where how many times have we seen Joel Embiid run the pick and he actually fades back and then you've seen him dish it back to Embiid and he hits the three. And then the next time they do that, he does the watching paint dry pump fake because of how slow it is, but somehow he gets people to get off their feet. He then drives and boom, 2 points. If Ben Simmons can hit the occasional three when he fades back on the pick instead of him rolling to the cup, or if you give him that corner three and he can hit it occasionally, now he's definitely not a non-factor. He is a factor in the half-court game. And maybe I'm overly excited for it, but when I see a glimpse of it, and when I think he's already a top 15 player and you can add that to it, look out. Ben Simmons and the Sixers are going places. And that's with Joel Embiid. And that's with Tobias Harris. And now we're not complaining about spacing. Couple open lines, 610-632-0975. Charles in Philly. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Andrew?
What's up, Charles? How you doing, man?
Good, Andrew. Now, it was great to have sports back last night. I watched a lot of the Sixers game. But, Andrew, I'm not worried about the Phillies and their hitters. They'll get it going. They got to get it going quickly. I get that. I'm more worried. And I railed about it. And I'm more worried about Aaron Nola.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with a group of friends. And I was on Facebook. And people got mad at me. But I'm going to say it the way it is. Nola wasn't an ace last year. And he wasn't an ace last night. Listen, they might not have won the game anyway. But I'm sorry, Andrew. He's got to come out and shut down the Miami Marlins. You can't give up four runs and then give up a go-ahead home run on a 1-2 pitch to a mediocre power hitter.
Yep.
Listen, I'm still an Aaron Nola fan. I think he's a really good pitcher. But he underachieved last year, and he underachieved last night. And he's got to get it going. It looked like to me he was in his own head last night. And he's got to get it going because he's a lot better than that. Now, as for the Sixers, I'm Andrew, I've been optimistic on the Sixers. I got them in the conference finals against Milwaukee. And I don't need Ben Simmons, you know, shooting a lot of threes, but I need him to do what he did yesterday. If he does that, this is a very dangerous team. If he does that, I think they're one of the deepest teams in basketball. I don't see anybody except Milwaukee really being able to go against them in a 7-game series and beat them because I think the team's that deep. I think they're that good. And I think this neutral court thing actually helps them.
I do too.
Because they don't have the home court advantage, but I think the road court disadvantage was even more a problem for them. So they don't got that anymore. They can just let the talent shine. And I think the talent's going to shine. And like I said, if this team does not make the conference finals, obviously Brett Brown's gone. But I think they will. And I think Brett's a better coach than people give this guy credit for. I think Brett Brown's a top 10 coach in the NBA.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to let you go there because, Charles, it's not just me. A lot of people were calling for a lot of things that we finally saw yesterday. We were calling for those things like last year. And why did it take Brett Brown as long as it did? Why did it take Brett Brown a 4-month layoff to be able to realize these things? So I'm not going to let you go top 10 coach in the NBA.
Well, that's my opinion, but I'm going to tell you why I think it took him so long.
Okay.
I think finally he had to get Ben to buy in. I think Ben wasn't buying in. Ben wanted the ball in his hand.
And you could be right there.
And I think Brett finally convinced Ben, listen, you don't need the ball in your hands all the time. Take a shot here and there. And I'm telling you, if Ben plays like he did last night, this team could even be in the finals. It would not surprise me.
Yeah, I still need more from Ben, and I appreciate the call. It was just a scrimmage game. He didn't play much time. I mean, 9 points, you need more from Ben, but it was a scrimmage. So when he says if he plays like last night, well, no, I still need more. But the 7 rebounds, 9 assists that he had, and then if you can add 10 more points to that, all of a sudden Ben Simmons is, again, one of the better players in the NBA. But he said something, Charles did, that I said earlier this week that Glenn Robinson, let me rephrase this. Glenn Robinson III said this with Devon, and it was one of the things that really stood out to me. There's two things. One thing that stood out to me was he and other members of the Sixers defending Ben Simmons needed to start respecting the three in practices. Okay? All right, might just be player talk, but obviously you saw it yesterday. Ben Simmons feels a little more comfortable. The other thing is, and Charles just mentioned it, buying in. Now, he could be right about the whole Ben Simmons thing, maybe not buying in. But I've brought this up twice now this week. And Anthony and I talked about it. I remember we were at the Blue Coats facility in Delaware. Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick did that podcast. It was J.J. Redick's podcast, That Rat. And Jimmy Butler said he talked about the playoffs last year. And he talked about Brett Brown deciding to take the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands and having Jimmy Butler run point. And we saw that. Now, I don't know how much is true that comes out of the mouth of Jimmy Butler. But what we do know is, yes, Jimmy Butler ran a lot of point in the playoffs last year. And Jimmy Butler said that that was never the plan during the season. All of a sudden, playoffs come along and boom, Jimmy Butler's running point. Like all of a sudden, you just played 82 games with Ben Simmons the point guard, then sorry, you're no longer the point guard, Jimmy Butler is. And according to Jimmy Butler, he himself wasn't happy about it. I don't know if that's true or not. I think Jimmy Butler is lying. I think he actually likes having the ball in his hands and showing out. Now, JJ's the rat, not Jimmy. And then Ben Simmons probably wasn't happy about it. Buying in, as Charles said, as Glenn Robinson III said, as Shake Milton said with the morning show earlier this week, buying in, the whole team buying in, that could go a long way. And maybe Brett Brown's voice is finally heard, or maybe somebody got to Brett Brown and he heard. I think a lot of people have to do buying in. I think Brett Brown has to buy into the strengths of the team. 610-632-0975. We have two open lines. Again, 610-632-0975. Philly's on the table. Sixers on the table. I'll reset a lot of stuff coming up and more stuff that I want to complain about and a very fascinating stat that Nat Marlowe put on the board for me regarding Aaron Nola. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking it till noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.